نستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه العزيز: وأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين، وقال: وقل رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders, brothers and sisters, in this day and age, we are finding that the critics of Islam are maligning Islam with the accusation that Islam is a religion of intolerance and anger and fury and revenge and killing and hatred and so on. But if we look at the sources that we rely upon of the Quran and the Sunnah, we will understand that nothing could be further from the truth. The very basic, the very basis and the foundation of Islam is rahmah, mercy and tolerance. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared, addressing the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. O Prophet of Allah, we sent you as a mercy for mankind. Now, before I forget, I just have a quick announcement to make. Firstly, please move forward. There's a lot of people coming in and standing in the doorways. So please move forward. Fill up the space in front so that we don't block the doorways. And the brothers can go on that side too. If these doors are blocked, you can go from that side. Just want to make a point of announcing. I was told by Dr. Khalid, the principal, that they are getting a lot of complaints about children who are not from ISI. Children who are brought from outside schools, from Manara or wherever, to come and pray the Jummah, but those kids are out of control and they are disturbing everybody else's Jummah. So please, if you have brought your kids, keep them with you so that they can participate in the Jummah. As we know, if you come for the Jummah, then talking and laughing and doing anything outside of the actions of Jummah, that is not permissible. It is not accepted and it wastes the Jummah completely, and a person is not getting the reward. So we need to instill that into our children right now as they're growing up, so that once they are older, they have this as a habit within themselves. Okay, so please make a point of this. If your kids are with you, keep them with you and make sure they don't disturb anybody else. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Quran, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, that O Prophet of Allah, we sent you as a mercy for the worlds. Mercy for the worlds, for everybody. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us in the Quran, addressing the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, وَقُلْ رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَارْحَمْ وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Say, O Prophet of Allah, when you are making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ, O my Lord, forgive me. وَارْحَمْ, and have mercy. وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. O Allah, you are the best of the merciful ones. So the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is highlighted throughout the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Quran many, many times, الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ, الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ, the beginning of the Quran itself. Every single surah, except for Surah At-Tawbah, it starts with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I start with the name of Allah, who is the gracious and the merciful. So once we understand that this is the foundation of Islam, then we will understand that this is what Islam teaches us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful, he teaches us to be merciful also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says about Muslims, أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. And another verse, أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. And this verse should not be taken out of context and misunderstood. The wording is that they're severe on the kuffar and merciful amongst themselves, and humble to the mu'mineen and arrogant and overbearing towards the disbelievers. What does that mean? That means that as Muslims, we need to be proud of our faith. We should not feel ashamed of Islam. We should not feel ashamed of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. We should not be ashamed of our religion. We should not be ashamed of our Muslim name. We should not be ashamed of walking in the mall with our wife while she is wearing a hijab. So this is what it means. It doesn't mean that we are severe against the disbelievers. It means that we are proud of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, and we feel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us something that we need to be proud of, and we are not ashamed of it. So this is how we understand these verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also talks about the rahmah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah says, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْ فَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ فَعَفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهِ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ. This verse was revealed when? This verse was revealed after Ghazwat Uhud. And if you are familiar with the story of Uhud, what happened in this battle, that the Muslims made a mistake of coming down the mountain when they should not have done, the archers. They were told to stay on the mountain. They were told to not move unless instructed by the Prophet ﷺ. But they moved, they came down. And because of that, the victory which was coming, it changed into defeat. And in that confusion, 70 of the Sahaba were killed, including the beloved uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, who was killed in that battle. And not only killed, he was mutilated. His body was mutilated, his liver and everything and entrails were taken out, and his ears and his nose was chopped off too. And after this episode took place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam with this verse. If you can imagine that a huge loss has taken place. 70 Sahaba killed because of the mistake of a few, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. Because of the rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are lenient upon them. The word lenient, lean, it means to be, in Arabic lean, it means to be gentle. Allah says, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. If you were hard-hearted, if you were severe, then they would have dispersed from among you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, فَعَفُوا عَنْهُمْ, forgive them. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ, seek forgiveness from them. And not only that, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ, seek their advice. Seek their advice. The people that made a mistake, the people, because of their mistake that resulted in the killing of your uncle and 70 Sahaba, continue to seek their advice. وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Once you have decided, then have trust on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this basically is a lesson for all people who are in a leadership position, that to take the advice of the community, to listen to advice, to take opinions, there's nothing wrong with that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he could have taken his advice directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have given him what the correct advice was. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't want that. He wanted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be a guidance, and we follow in the steps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as he commanded the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to take advice from his subordinates, the leadership should take advice from their subordinates and take their advice and take their opinions. And whether or not they take every single one's opinions, which is obviously impossible to implement everybody's opinions, but to take opinions and consider them, it is a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Going back to the subject of the khutbah, which is that mercy was something that was dictated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, even when logic dictated otherwise. Logic dictated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam should be upset. logic dictated that the Prophet ﷺ should have not talked to those people for the rest of their lives because of the mistake they made. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He instructed otherwise. And He said that if you were severe and hard-hearted, then they would have dispersed from amongst you. And this is actually the problem that a lot of leaders face, whether they are leaders of countries or leaders of communities. When they take on an attitude of a dictator, then for the short term, they can make things work, but ultimately, we see on a day-to-day basis what happens, that ultimately, the end of dictators is very, very shameful and disgraceful. And we see that on a day-to-day basis, and I don't really need to go into specifics about that, but we have seen that with our own eyes. The Prophet ﷺ, he used to say, مَنْ لَا يَرْحَمُ النَّاسِ لَا يَرْحَمُهُ اللَّهِ. Does the person who does not have mercy on the people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not have mercy on him. And another hadith in which Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام قبل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الحسن بن علي. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم kissed the son of Ali radiallahu anhu, Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Aqra ibn Habis was there sitting, and Aqra said, إِنَّ لِي عَشَرَةً مِنَ الْوَلَدِ. I have 10 children. مَا قَبَّلْتُ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدًا. I have never kissed one of them in my life. I've never kissed one of them in my life. It was basically seen to be a strange thing that somebody is kissing their children. The Prophet ﷺ, he looked at him. فَنَظَرَ إِلَيْهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ ثُمَّ قَالَ مَنْ لَا يَرْحَمْ لَا يُرْحَمْ. Whoever does not have mercy, he will not have mercy given to him. أَوَ أَمْلِكُ لَكَ أَنْ إِنْ كَانَ اللَّهُ نَزَعَ مِنْ قَلْبِكَ الرَّحْمَةِ. What can I do if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken the rahmah away from your heart? So again, the fact that we have affection towards our children, we have affection to our family members, this is part of the mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put into us. And when we have that mercy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will have mercy upon us. Sometimes we take that mercy out of context. And sometimes to be strict with our family and to be strict with our wives, to be strict with our children, it is actually a form of mercy. Why? Because we want their long-term success. We want our children to study, and we want our children to do their homework, and we want our children to get good grades. And if we just let them loose and we don't monitor them and we don't make sure that they are getting their good grades, then obviously this is going to be difficult for their future. So we make sure that in these things we become strict. It is not mercy in this case to just let your children go and not look out for them and not supervise them and not pull them in when they're getting out of control. Same thing goes when they are not adopting Islamic behavior. If they're not praying on time, if they're not fasting, if they're engaging in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we don't pull them in and we don't stop them from doing that, then that is not mercy. At that time, it is mercy to be strict. Why? Because the long-term objective is the success in the hereafter. If they are instilling inside themselves bad habits right now, and we are not controlling them, then obviously in the long term, they're going to be unsuccessful. And that unsuccessfulness, that failure, is an eternal failure. So we need to think about that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about capital punishment in the Quran. And He says, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاتٌ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. He says that in qisas, in capital punishment, in the fact that a murderer is killed for his actions, except if the relatives forgive him, in it, there is life for you, O people of understanding. In it, there is life for you. Why? Because when we have that kind of strictness in society, then it prevents people from committing murders. It prevents other people from doing what that person did. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاتٌ. So sometimes that strictness is a benefit for society. And that is a mercy for society, even though on the face of it, it looks brutal and it looks harsh, but this is a mercy for society that we are strict on certain occasions. Going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His mercy, we often hear from the critics of Islam that the God of Islam is a very vengeful and a wrathful God. But if we look at one very beautiful hadith that tells us the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, جَعَلَ اللَّهُ الرَّحْمَةَ مِئَةَ جُزٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He divided His mercy into 100 parts. فَأَمْسَكَ عِنْدَهُ تِسْعَةً وَتِسْعِينَ وَأَنْزَلَ فِي الْأَرْضِ جُزْءًا وَاحِدًا. He kept with Himself 99 of those parts. 99% of His mercy, He has retained it with Him. And He sent down 1% of His mercy throughout the world. From the beginning of time until the end of time, 1% of His mercy has been distributed in the world. فَمِنْ ذَلِكَ الْجُزْءِ تَتَرَاحَمُ الْخَلَائِقِ حَتَّى تَرْفَعَ الدَّابَةُ حَافِرَهَا عَنْ وَلَدِهَا خَشْيَةَ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُ. So from that 1% of mercy, all of the creation, they have mercy amongst each other. Humans have mercy amongst each other. Even the animals, they have mercy towards each other. So much so, the hadith says, that the animal, it lifts its hoof from the ground to prevent crushing its own young. That is part of that mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what about the other 99%? That 99%, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is retaining it and keeping it, and He will use it on the Day of Judgment to have mercy on the believers. That is how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. So this is one riwayah that we really need to keep in mind, that actually shows how merciful, how truly merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he instructed us to even have mercy upon animals. This is what Islam teaches. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said about a woman, دَخَلَتْ إِمْرَأَةٌ النَّارَ فِي هِرَّةٌ. A woman, she entered the hellfire because of a cat. And according to some riwayat, this woman was a woman who did qiyamul layl and prayed tahajjud. And she was an obedient slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but she entered the hellfire because of a cat. What did she do? رَبَطَتْهَا فَلَمْ تُطْعِمْهَا وَلَمْ تَدَعْهَا تَأْكُلْ مِنْ خَشَاشِ الْأَرْضِ. She tied that cat up, didn't feed it, and she didn't let the cat free so that the cat could hunt its own food. And because of that, despite being a mutahajjida, a woman who was praying tahajjud and being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she was entered into the hellfire because of that. And on the other hand, it's mentioned about a person who fed a dog water, and because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entered that person into paradise. According to some riwayat, it was an evil woman. And according to the riwayat that is in front of me right now, it was a man. But in any case, whoever the person was, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him. Why? Because this person gave water to a thirsty dog. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, بَيْنَمَا رَجُلٌ يَمْشِي بِطَرِيقٍ اشْتَدَّ عَلَيْهِ الْعَطَشِ فَوَجَدَ بِئْرًا فَنَزَلَ فِيهَا فَشَرِبْ. A person was going along his way, and he became overpowered with thirst. And he found a well, he entered into the well, he descended into the well, he took the water, and he drank to his fill. ثُمَّ خَرَجْ فَإِذَا كَلْبٌ يَلْهَثُ يَأْكُلُ الثَّرَى مِنَ الْعَطَشِ. And he found a dog that was panting, and it was eating the moist soil, trying to get the water, the moisture from the soil, because of its own thirst. So he descended into the he thought to himself, لَقَدْ بَلَغَ هَذَا الْكَلْبَ مِنَ الْعَطْشِ مِثْلُ الَّذِي كَانَ بَلَغَ مِنِّي. The same thing that was happening to me, that severe thirst, is happening to this dog. And he descended, فَنَزَلَ الْبِئْرِ, he descended into the well, فَمَلَأَ خُفَّهُ مَاءً, he filled his leather sock with water, ثُمَّ أَمْسَكَهُ بِفِيهِ حَتَّى رَقَى. He took the sock in his mouth, he carried it in his mouth, until he came out of the well, فسق القلب, and he gave this dog water. فشكر الله له فغفر له. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed his gratitude to this person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed his gratitude to this person and he forgave him. So once we understand that this is what Islam teaches about mercy towards animals, an animal which is regarded as impure in Islam, in this case. Showing mercy to that animal, was it enough for forgiveness? So what do you think if we have mercy towards our fellow human beings? Do you not think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be pleased with us? Obviously, He would be pleased with us. And this is something that we need to instill into us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs us to be merciful towards our young. He tells us to be merciful towards our elderly parents. And He tells us in the Quran, وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِ صَغِيرًا. We are instructed to serve our parents and look after them as they get old. And we are supposed to pray for them. Pray, be merciful to them. And on top of that, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا. O Allah, have mercy on them. كَمَا رَبَّيَانِ صَغِيرًا. As they had mercy on me and they gave me tarbiyah as I was growing up while I was small. They cleaned me and bathed me and fed me. O Allah, have mercy on them right now in their old age when they need it. And on top of that, the final thing is mercy towards our spouse, mercy towards our wives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us in the Quran, هُنَّ لِبَاسٌ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لِبَاسٌ لَهُنْ. They are a libas for you. They are a clothing for you and you are a clothing for them. What does that mean? There are different interpretations of this verse. One interpretation is, that the clothing on the body is the closest thing that we have to us. There is nothing closer to us than the clothing on our body. Similarly is the relationship between a husband and a wife. There's nothing closer than that. They are a clothing for you and you are a clothing for them. And another interpretation is that just like the clothing hides the defects on the body and it hides our modesty, similarly, the husband and the wife, they hide each other's faults from the outside world. They do not disclose their faults to the outside world. So this is that beautiful relationship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran. So we need to maintain that relationship with that same level of love and affection. And to make sure we have mercy upon those wives that are serving us, that are ironing our clothes, that are cooking for us night and day. And the verses which talk about the beating of the wives, they are taken severely out of context. They are taken completely out of context and completely misunderstood. And I don't have time to go into that, but I just like to let you know that tonight, inshallah, after Maghrib, there's going to be a program related to domestic abuse. It is called The Shepherd. What should a shepherd be? كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَتِ. All of you are shepherds. All of us are shepherds. And the Prophet ﷺ said, you all will be questioned about your flock, your subordinates. So in this case, the good shepherd is the one who is the leader of his family. He does not indulge in domestic abuse. He does not beat his wife. And related to that, inshallah, there's going to be a lecture tonight between Maghrib and Isha. It's not going to be me. It's going to be an outside speaker who's coming in. And he's going to be giving a PowerPoint presentation related to this issue. But the summary is basically that as Muslims, we have to understand that rahmah and mercy is a very integral part of Islam. And this is something that we need to understand that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was instructed to have that mercy, and we are also instructed to have that mercy towards our young, towards our contemporaries, towards our fellow human beings, towards our wives, towards our children, towards our extended families. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard.